Welcome to NFL Total Access, The Locker Room. I am Mike Garofalo.
And I'm Real Mike Rob. What up, Jeezy?
Real Mike Rob. No fake Mike Robs. We don't do that here. We do real Mike Robs. Happy early. I mean, can I say Happy New Year? I mean, when's your New Year start? Remind me again.
My New Year start in March with the equinox. That's when the true New Year's of the planet really is. But the Gregorian New Year's is this weekend. Yes.
But why do you pick the spring equinox and not the fall equinox? How do we know that that's the first equinox?
Because that's when the first signs of life, when you're growing food and the animals, everything is about how the sun and food grows. It's about our survival, right? And in March, that's why they use the bunny rabbit as the symbol for Easter, because the sun actually hops back into a certain part of the zodiac, which I'm not going to get into. But yeah, that's what it's all about.
There you go. All right. Now that we've established that, let's talk about football, because that's what we do here on this podcast. Sprinkling a little bit of everything. I mean, we want you to be fully educated when you come here. A well-rounded education. But I know you're mostly here for football. So let's dive into it as we get into week 17, which used to be.
Jeezy, hold up. Before you go, I know we got something that's written down and all that stuff, man. But look, the hell with that. I'm taking a hard left. Bro, Carson Wentz, COVID. First of all, I just did some Instagram stuff yesterday about how, what if this happens in the playoffs and it's a franchise quarterback? I mean, like, the league can't be happy about this, man. Like, what's your thoughts on it, man? Because I think people don't realize how many players teams have to actually have eyes on to be able to fill rosters, man.
We didn't talk about this ahead of time. I was going to stay away from this only because this could be dated by the time we get this up. But where we're headed here, where we're headed.
There you go.
Because as we tape this, as I just said on NFL Now on NFL Network, we are expecting the protocols to change. And we are expecting now that instead of a mandatory 10-day window in which unvaccinated players are sidelined, that it's now going to be 5 days for everybody, because that's the new CDC updated protocols or updated suggested protocols from the CDC, which are now going to lead to the updated NFL protocols, which means Carson Wentz, who tested positive on Monday, could very well be cleared as long as we'll see what the hard rules are, but could be cleared by Saturday. And now that these tests are being conducted on Monday for most players, if it's 5 days, you'll be on the list. You may not practice, but you may be back by the weekend. We are now headed into a new phase of COVID. and Dr. Alan Sills, the NFL's chief medical officer, has been clear about this. We are headed into, it's almost like a new disease is the way that he phrased it. Different than the one that we first encountered. Now, some may say that it's really not that different, Mike Rob.
Yeah.
We'll put that aside for now because we're not going to get into that debate. But from a football protocol standpoint, we are now, it's much more lax, much more forgiving as far as a player's ability to get back on the field. So it looks like Carson Wentz might be back. Looks like a lot of these guys that we thought were going to be out for two games, Darius Leonard being one of them, the Colts linebacker, going to be back.
Well, that's good, man, because the players I've spoken to in locker rooms, and again, we've talked about this for weeks now, are like, damn, bro, like I did everything that they told me and I still got to sit out. I'm still missing games. I didn't want to get this shot, but whatever the case may be. So I'm glad to just hear that. But like, there's no way I mean, the Saints on Monday, the Saints this past Monday night, bro, like almost everybody, all of their stars were out, man. It was almost hard to watch that game. And don't get me wrong, I don't want to take any credit away from Miami. I think they're a decent team. I think their defense keeps them in games. Their offensive line is horrible. I think Tua has done an okay job. I don't put him in the elite level, right? I just put him like just right there as, you know, right along the median average of NFL quarterbacks. I think they're maybe a one and done if they do go to the playoffs. But I'm talking about the product, man. The fact that the Saints so decimated, we can't allow teams to come out here looking like that. Man, to me, that was a bad look for the league.
Well, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself.
I know, but I can't help.
And I read this column the other day, not related to the NFL, but related to COVID, saying that the possibility, the Omicron being more contagious, but less severe when it comes to symptoms and deaths and hospitalizations, is something that should be celebrated. That was the point of the column, is that we are inching toward, maybe even more than inching toward an endemic, not a pandemic, but an endemic.
I got you.
The COVID may go endemic soon. And I've seen timelines as far as 2024. I mean, it depends how you define endemic, because I tweeted that last week as far as how the NFL is now adapting their protocols, basically saying that if they're right and they're not testing the way that they were testing daily for unvaccinated guys, even daily for everybody going back a year, it's because they're not as afraid of this variant as they've been previously. And I said, we could be endemic. And I got a couple of replies that said, we're already endemic. We've been endemic the whole time. And I don't mean to do it in that voice. I'm just, yeah, you know, that's what I do. It comes up in my head when I read some tweets on Twitter, you know, that's just how it happens. But I, you know, and I also think that there's not enough leeway or not enough understanding of, I'm trying to just do, like, we're learning as we go along, right? When this first hit, we were putting, we were throwing people on ventilators, right? And then afterward, they said we shouldn't have done that as much as we did that early on, because that was actually counterproductive. I mean, when a new thing kind of sweeps the globe like this, has you figure out what it is and what it has, and the virus itself morphs and mutates and all that stuff. Humility, patience, throw them all out in the chat there. patience is a good one. Nobody's got patience. I'm talking about Tom Self, our producer, who's just throwing words into the chat now, trying to help me out as I was stuck for a word.
but patience is something that the world needed, man. We need
back to football. Back to football. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but there is a strong possibility that in 2022, let me phrase it this way. Perhaps 2022 will look more like 2019 than 2020 or 2021. Well, that is the hope from an NFL standpoint.
That is a good deal, because, again, just like I referenced this past Monday night game, man, like, the Saints did not look like a competitive team. I'm sorry, man. And, yeah, I know they had a young quarterback in book, but at the end of the day, the defense couldn't do enough to keep them in that game. I think if they had a capable quarterback, maybe Miami, maybe Miami loses that game.
Well, and the other part of this, and we were supposed to do this on game day morning. This was my note for the notebook on game day morning on Sunday, and it got killed because we were a little heavy. That happens a lot. Yes. And I was going to talk. My report was going to be that the Saints really didn't practice the way you're supposed to practice because of COVID. So it wasn't only a roster shortage. Ian Book did not get the kind of preparation. Most of his preparation was mental, right? Which
you need
there's reps, a mental element, but when you're a rookie quarterback making your first start, there's got to be a physical element.
You need reps, man. You hear me talk about it all the time, Jeezy. Two ways to program this human organism we live in, man. That's the first 5 to 7 years of your life. That's when you're learning the foundation of what's going on. And practice, reps. 25,000 reps for the most part to create a habit. So at the end of the day, to hear that Ian Book didn't get the practice time because of COVID again. That's COVID again, rearing its ugly head. But to your point, hopefully we get back to the way things used to be.
Yeah, and I, you know, I'm completely away from COVID and now towards football. I want to know what the Saints are going to do from a quarterback standpoint, because you had a little sliver of Jameis Winston as your unquestioned starter. You saw some good things. You saw some bad things. I mean, I still don't. When I look at what he did, I don't think that if I had to make a call, Jameis Winston, or let's go out and try and trade for a guy, or let's make a move in the draft, I don't know that I've seen enough from Jameis Winston to say, let's shun the possibility of everything else and let's dive in headfirst with this guy in 2022. Injury concerns aside and recovery aside, you tell me.
I think we just use the word patience, man. Talked about it. I think if they just sit and wait a little bit, knowing that they can rehab Jameis Winston, they can probably be the leader in the clubhouse for him coming back to be their quarterback. And I think Sean Payton can manage him and win games with him. And you just wait and see what else comes out there on the market. Because if a Teddy Bridgewater comes back out on the market, I mean
but
it could happen.
They had him once. But they had him once. I mean,
different circumstances, man. Different circumstances, Jeezy. I think this time around, they possibly can get him for cheaper. And I think they would win games with him while they wait on that young franchise guy. Because at the end of the day, I don't think they're going to fall into one of the top guys in this year's draft, to a lot of people saying probably aren't many. So at the end of the day, I think they could win with Jameis Winston if they needed to.
Yeah, I as far as this draft goes, there are some guys that are intriguing. And Carson Strong from Nevada, who bailed on the bowl game And that Nevada team was nowhere near what it was with him offensively this year. I thought that that was a good indication for what he meant and what he can do from a quarterback standpoint. Now, they also had a head coach change. So these bowl games are just out of control. I mean, you go into Nevada, these games.
Right? I saw that on TV the other day. So, look, acting head coach used to be one of my backups on practice squad in Seattle.
That's awesome. Time,
man. Yeah, that's my dog. That's my dog. So yeah.
I loved it. Listen, I knew nothing about that guy before that game, but watching him on the sideline, I love that guy. He's got energy, man. And he came out hot. Nevada was playing well, and he had a great look about him. And then I think about midway through the first quarter, late in the first, it turned into like deer in the headlights a little bit, right? Like, and again, he was without his quarterback. The guy they had playing, I forget his first name, Cox. 6'9", I think he was, right? You ever see a quarterback 6'9"? You can't be that big and play the position. You should be playing, I don't know, power forward or something like that. I mean, that's
All right.
We are way off. Where do you want to go?
Let's get back to the NFL football. All right, playoffs. All right, we talked a little bit Miami. We talked a little bit Saints. All right, Cardinals, Cowboys, man. What's going on with the Cardinals, man?
Yeah, my understanding coming into the season was this was very much a make or break, put up or shut up. I'm struggling for words again, Tom Self, but a prove it year. Maybe that's it. There's still another word that's escaping me for Cliff Kingsbury as a head coach, and I believe that was communicated to him in so many words that you can't, especially after their meltdown last year, late in the season, where they were just in prime position for a playoff spot and then lost two games in a row at the end there. They might be doing it again. And I've just to be the last undefeated team standing, right? And now you get to a point where, you're going to make the playoffs, it seems. I mean, you could stumble into the playoffs unless I'm missing something here. But they may have to consider, and listen, maybe they push it off and say, okay, we find it hard to say you're fired because of how good it was to start and you still made the postseason and there's still a lot of potential here. But 2022 could be the year where he's going to have to prove it. Cliff's going to have to prove it. And Kyler Murray's, do you do an extension or do you just wait and let these guys kind of play it out a little bit? I mean, I think Cliff was kind of posturing for an extension, but the way that this is going, not every team's going to win the Super Bowl. We know that, right? One team gets to be happy every single year. And when you're playing in a division as tough as the NFC West was this year, you kind of grade a little bit on a curve, right? But that being said, the thing that can get you fired in this league, even if you're successful, is when history starts to repeat itself, right? When it just looks the same and an owner says, well, this is just who we're going to be, right? We're going to win a lot of regular season games, but we're not going to really have that. We're not going to end on a high note, and we're not going to really play our best football into the playoffs, and we're not going to win the postseason. So I think it's a dangerous precedent potentially being set right now, and the Cardinals got to turn on a dime here to really make a statement to ownership,
They do, Jeezy. For me, though, and I know I do place some of the blame on Coach Kingsbury. But I'm looking squarely at Kyler Murray, man. That was an MVP candidate earlier in the season, missed a few games. Now I'm starting to see him kind of look at the rush a little bit more. And I don't know. I know some guys in the locker room and nobody said anything crazy about Kyler or anything like that. But you just wonder. I just wonder really, truly what his connection is with guys in that locker room, man. I just wonder, Jeezy, because like for instance, Hopkins, right? When he went down, when he bounced, right? Now AJ Green is kind of the number one guy. And just look at the moments during this season when Kyler Murray is trying to get the ball to AJ Green. You look at the end of that Packers game, pick. You look at the Detroit game, he tried to get it to him, pick. And then you see Kyler like motioning to him, like, dude, come back to the ball. I can't sit here and say when I look at AJ Green's history that he doesn't have any dog in him. You know what I'm saying? Got him put up all pro seasons, right? And so it just makes me wonder, man, just about the connection part of it. You hear me talk about it all the time. Part of playing quarterback on any level is public relations. You got to be able to hang with everybody. You got to be able to be around everybody. And I don't know whether Kyler Murray does that. I'm just saying, guys I talk to, what I see on the field, just makes you wonder about their individual relationships. That's all I'm saying, man. And I agree with you. They aren't finishing right. And yeah, I could see them being a one and done, which is a damn shame. Yeah.
You talk about him looking at the rush. I know he doesn't like to get hit. I know that the physical element was a big part of what he went through his first couple of seasons. And, you know, to the point where I had people privately saying, you know, you don't get hit as much in baseball, right? Very rarely. And he alluded to it coming into this offseason or coming into the season at some point in the offseason about how, you know, he still kind of has – yeah, a love of baseball or however he, I'm paraphrasing, but it was led to a lot of raised eyebrows. Like, wait a second, is this guy gonna, you know?
Do you think if he had like two or three more seasons that are kind of up and down, but never really do anything in the postseason or whatever, do you think that's something that's in this kid's future possibly?
I think baseball is always kind of hanging out there.
Really?
I do. I think it's always I think he loves it. I think he's made it clear that he does. And you know, he's committed to football now, but when you're the team, he's now eligible for a contract extension having completed his third year. What are you going to do? What is he going to do? What's going to happen with the coach? Is he going to get extended? I mean, there's a lot of moving parts there that, you know, we're going to have to watch this offseason to see where it goes. You mentioned the Cowboys is the other end of this. What's impressing you the most? With Dallas, I mean, Micah Parsons is up there, obviously, but you know, hit me with your, because we were talking about the Cowboys in a slump, and I mean, that was a world class thumping that they gave the other night.
Oh my goodness, man, that was an ass kicking. I love it. I can say that. It's our podcast. They whipped, man. They beat the hell out of them boys, man. Like it wasn't even close. The game was over at halftime. Look, Dallas is healthy. Guys are coming back, and I think their talent is starting to show. They're ascending at the right time. They managed to actually win four games in a row with Dak Prescott not looking fantastic at all, which I think is a good thing, because at the end of the day, I don't think Dak Prescott is going to look bad more often than he's going to look not bad. You know what I'm saying? So I think the Cowboys are in a good spot, man. Their thing now is the hype train. Right? Everybody's going to be talking about them. They're the hype now. There's a bunch of media that's going to always be around. People are going to be putting them into conversations with the Packers and guys like that. I think if they don't read the newspaper clippings, they just put their head down and go, I think they'll be one of the final teams standing. If not, the old Cowboys may show up in the playoffs, man.
Yeah, I mean, you play for the Cowboys, you coach for the Cowboys, you pretty much accept that hype is going to be a big part of what happens with you, period, no matter what you're doing. We talked about this on Good Morning Football Weekend a couple of weeks ago. I think it was before they kind of hit their lull. It was I know what it was, because we were talking about when they were playing the Chiefs, who's more likely to be a Super Bowl contender, Kansas City or Dallas. Mm-hmm. And my point was, and my point still stands, we emphasize experience in the playoffs a lot when we talk about the postseason. Sometimes inexperience can be a good thing for you. I go back to that Eagles team a couple of years ago. Yes, they had experienced guys on there. Chris Long had won a Super Bowl. I'm blanking. Some other guys had gone deep into the postseason, but sometimes what you don't know is a good thing, right? And you play with that kind of youthful arrogance and confidence, and you know, perhaps that could work in the Cowboys' favor a little bit. We'll see. Dak's been around. They've had guys who have played playoff games. It's not to say that they haven't, but they haven't been that team that's really made that push deep into January. So perhaps that could be the case this year. We shall see. They are an interesting team. One other one, just give me the NFC dark horse. Give me a, because I'm looking at San Francisco and Philadelphia, two teams with running games. We know that travels in the postseason. If I said to you, who's the dangerous team that could, who do you not want to see if you're one of the top seeds and they're coming into your building?
In the NFC? A team
in the NFC. There may not be one. I mean, you having to prepare for what San Francisco does, I'm sure is a headache. You know, and if it's a cold, blustery day, certainly not in Tampa, but maybe in Green Bay, that's a team that could go in and win on a day like that. So maybe that's a headache. But maybe you say, you know what, they're still not complete enough to be a threat. You tell me.
You know, a team that's like that, and I think they're sitting – let me look. I think they're sitting at 7 right now. It's the Eagles, man.
Yeah. Yep.
They're a team that I think, they could play one of the top seeds and lose by 20 points. You know, but they also could play one of the top seeds and run the hell out of the football, run it right down their throat. Jalen Hurts' ability to be unpredictable. Like, to me, I look at in playoff games and in championship moments and stuff like that, I always go back to the greatest coach that's coaching that ever coached, I think, pro football, which is Bill Belichick, right? What gives him issues? The issues are always the unpredictability of certain players, right? Whether it's the Wildcat offense, whether it's Colin Kaepernick, whether it's Cam Newton, who has a good record against him, whatever the case may be, it's the unpredictability. To me, Jalen Hurts presents that. He is capable enough in the passing game, and I think what we're seeing out of these wideouts, especially that kid Devontae Smith, man, I didn't think he was going to be this good, man. He is, like, he's Marvin Harrison, but just a little bit faster. He's showing up. This run game is showing up, and they have, to me, the best run-blocking offensive line in the NFL. So, to me, the Eagles would be the team that I wouldn't want to play if I was the top seed, bro.
Yeah, Shane Steichen, their offensive coordinator, talked today. Today being Tuesday, but I don't know when you're listening to this, but he talked and was asked about, you know, running the football. I mean, they're number one in rushing attempts, 32nd in passing attempts. And I know that a lot of Eagles fans have been frustrated when they're not playing well early in games because they're trying to throw the football. The fact of the matter is, like, the defense has film. They watch film, yes, right? So they know what you do, and they're going to come into a game and say, we're not going to let you run all over us. So you're going to see 8 and 9 men. So you have to throw to loosen it up, right? I mean, that's just...
Yes, that's part of it, man. That's part of it.
It just frustrates me when people say that. What's that?
You know how fans get down, though. They think you run the ball for, you know, 200-something
yards a game. But then they say, you know, late in the game, then the team starts to run the ball because, yeah, maybe things have loosened up a little bit, right? And they go, you see, I told you.
Huh? Or guys are hurting. Guys on defense are just getting beat up. That happens throughout the course of the game.
Right. Anyway, but he Steichen talked about that today, asked about it, and said, you know, if it's a day weather-wise, because the question was, hey, we're getting into that time of year where you run the football. And I think we oversimplify that, right? We say, oh, it's going to be cold, so you're going to run the football. You can still throw the football if it's cold.
Yeah.
But if it's cold plus wind plus precipitation, then you got problems. Then you want to have the kind of game that New England had where the winds were out of control.
Hold up, though. Don't talk about New England without saying how they got that ass whipped by my Buffalo Bills, man. They look good. They look good, Jeezy. Come on, dog.
You got to
give credit where credit due, man.
We weren't even in the AFC yet. I'm not knocking your Bills, but I gave you an opening and you took it. So go ahead, like a running back spotting that hole, go for it.
Now, you know, I like the zone scheme, man. I saw the inside A gap.
Plant that foot and go.
Yeah. Check this out, man. Look, if Josh Allen plays like that, if he is the best player on the field, which he has the ability to be in every single game that they're playing, Buffalo can't be beat. Buffalo win a Super Bowl. They will. But it's when he tries to do too much. It's when he tries too hard sometimes. That's when they get in trouble. Man, look, I think they got their mojo back, Jeezy. I still would like them to run the ball with running backs a little bit more. But, hey, they're winning games. I can't get mad at it. And I hope our network sends me up there to jump off a table. Jump through a table. I got to do it.
We have not seen a team have its mojo for an entire season. I mean, the New England Patriots of 2007, even they ran out of mojo, right? I mean, the 72 Dolphins, we can go all the way back there, but that was a 14-game season. The point is, through a 17-game season plus playoffs, really hard to maintain that mojo the entire time. So for a Bills team to have a lull, I think I'd take it when they had their lull, right? Get off to a fast start.
Yep.
Lull in November and then come back and find that mojo again when it really matters. So that's what we could be seeing with the Bills. And now we're back to talking about the Bills like we were talking about the Bills a couple of months ago. So that's exciting, Mike Rob. The Chiefs.
Bengals. Chiefs Bengals, that game. That's where you were going?
Sure.
Where you going?
Absolutely. this Bengals team is really interesting to me. And that's the game I guess we didn't have Good Morning Football Weekend. Where did I talk about it? I was talking about, I was on regular Good Morning Football.
Yes.
That's what it was.
We were
talking about this Bengals team. And I said, the question was, who is the most intriguing AFC North team? And I said, the Bengals are. Because that game against Baltimore the first time around, we saw that dominance. And we saw that offensive dominance. I mean, defense has been really good, not getting enough credit. I still believe that.
Yep.
But we saw that offensive dominance early in the season, and it just erupted on what. And I said, that team is lurking there. Now, granted, they were going up against a absolutely decimated Baltimore secondary, right? So that's why it just went out of control like it did. But there is an element of explosiveness there with the Bengals, and we saw it again. And that, to me, is what makes it intriguing.
I love the Bengals, man. I like their three wide receivers. I mean, these guys, and I may get into it more on one of the shows or whatever, but, I mean, they literally can do anything. You got Jamar Chase. He's the speed guy. He's the guy that dictates coverage on the backside of a three-by-one formation. T. Higgins, the big body guy, the 50-50 throw-the-ball-up guy and the big red zone target. Tyler Boyd, he's the guy that rules the slot inside the hash. It's like – they just have a basketball coach. Billick, you say it all the time, a basketball roster of wide receivers, right? They got any type of guy that you want. And then you got Joe Mixon. I still think this offense needs to go through Joe Mixon, though. I really do. I still do. And I do think for me to truly believe in them, I like them right now, but they're still young. But for me to truly believe in them, they got to do it with some consistency. I mean, you look at what weeks, 13, 14, two bad losses, one to the Chargers, 22-41, and then one to the Niners, about 23-26. So if they can, I mean, they're supposed to win games like that if they want to take that next step. But this is an interesting game against Kansas City this week. I think that they can shock the football world by going up in there and beating up on Spagnuolo's defense and battling with Patrick Mahomes. I think they have the ability to do it. It's all about being able to do it in the moment. And we're going to see. This young group got to come together.
There's no doubt about that. And Kansas City really has been just taking care of business and
yes, they have.
Winning the games they're supposed to win and winning them handily outside of that Chargers game that they had to win. In overtime, but the fact that they have absolutely played teams that you wouldn't have expected them in this recent stretch from their bye. I mean, if you looked at the schedule, you say, all right, well, they'll probably win maybe 3 out of 4, maybe 2-2, but to do it 4-0 and to do it as handily as they have. Now, granted, 3 of those games were at home, and now they close it out with 2 straight road games, which is interesting. I don't know how many teams are facing that. To me, if they get the bye and they're playing at home, this is a team that I'd still have to say that they're going to come out of the AFC. Now I know you like your Bills. I know you do. Man.
If Josh Allen plays like we've seen him play, like and just takes over the game. Cause at the end of the day, I still think Andy Reid is, I don't want to say this because I know I'm going to get killed, but so what? I still think Andy Reid is a little nervous when he sees Josh Allen across the field. I just do, man. That dude is strong arm.
You see some of those throws. Did you see some of those throws that Josh Allen made on Sunday?
Crazy, man.
I mean, windows that weren't even small windows. They were like non-existent windows, right? I mean,
created the window. Let's say that. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, he threw with confidence, right? Mm-hmm. He threw like he knew that ball was going to be completed, right? And there's a difference between calculating it in your head and saying, well, this has got a shot. And just the way that he threw it, it looked like he knew this is like you ever see the commercial with the probability for the next gen stats?
Yeah.
You probably had the next gen probability and then you probably had the one for him. Which was like 90% versus 15% on some of those windows, right?
Well, because, and I think I've heard him talk about this. He talks about visualizing. He visualizes a lot of passes. He visualizes himself doing this. Again, Jesus, the same thing I talk about. You visualize it first, then all of a sudden you put in the work and then it starts to manifest in real life. Exactly how it went on in your brain, man. That's manifested with conscious creators. Don't get me started, Jesus. Hey, look, before we go, I know we're about to go, but before we go, I got to ask you one thing because we were talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. Will Eric Bieniemy get a coaching job in this coaching cycle? Like, will he? I know Byron Leftwich getting interviewed, but I just really, can we get some guys getting at least looked at?
I mean, he's going to get looked at. That's for sure. Is he going to get a job? I'll say probably not. I mean, just based on but listen, I mean, when you think based on recent history, right? I mean, that's what I'm going by. Yeah.
But that's BS though, man. Like the NFL can't possibly think that players don't see that BS, man. Like, come on.
Well, straight out of the gate, the Jaguars have put in requests. When you say some guys, I mean you're talking about minority candidates.
Yes,
obviously,
that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm speaking of
Jim Caldwell. Jim Caldwell is the stunner of all stunners, and I'm going to stall while I look up his career record because I love doing this.
He shouldn't have got fired from Detroit, man.
This is my favorite. Okay, so his career record is 62-50, right? 62-50, which is good in and of itself. One of those years was a 2-14 year when Peyton Manning was out with a neck issue. You take away the 2-14, he is 60-36. Now,
and how long has he been not coaching? Not
2017, when he went 9-7 with the Detroit Lions, was his last year, and Detroit couldn't wait with its new general manager to fire him so they could bring in Matt Patricia. 60-36, and this man was without a job in a league where guys are coming in and going 6-10 or 6-11, exactly, whatever it is now, and maintaining their jobs. And Hugh Jackson's 1-31 in 2 years. And I just now look, I know that there are reporters, and we've had this discussion privately, and I'm not going to name them. Mm-hmm. When they say, well, yeah, but you have no idea how disorganized it was there, and he's not a great head coach, even though and I go, it doesn't matter what you're going to tell me about what you, because people hear stuff from sources. I know, listen, mm-hmm, it's reporter bias. You hear it from a source and it gets in your head, and you believe that to be the utmost truth.
The truth.
Okay. And so and I'll say, I have no doubt that you are hearing things that you believe to be true and your source believes to be true. And maybe there is an element of truth to it. But in the end, this is a gentleman who was 60-36 as a head coach.
Games. Yeah, man.
And was fired after a 9-7. Now, the other thing too is when I say, well, when Peyton Manning was gone, he was 2-14. They go, well, if that's the case, when he was 14-2, 2 years before that, that was because of Peyton Manning. Okay, fine. Right. Whatever. Peyton Manning was there, but he still won games and went to a Super Bowl. I mean, like, you know, what are we doing here? What are we doing? And 9-7 with the Detroit Lions.
The Detroit Lions.
9-7. That's like winning a Super Bowl. That's the equivalent.
Oh, Jesus. That's a drop the mic moment right there, bro.
So let's drop the mic and hope that people, owners, make smarter decisions. Because I think some of these hiring practices in this league are some of the most head-scratching. I mean, and Shad Khan coming off Urban Meyer, not surprising that a lot of the people that he's interviewing have head coaching experience.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if they hired someone who's been a head coach before, but we'll see.
Hold on. One last thing. I'm sorry, man. This is an interesting conversation. In all your, you know, studies and investigating, do these general managers that are looking for head coaches, like, do they ever speak to players that are on the team, like, to talk about locker room dynamics or anything? Do they ever try to get a player's input?
So in the case of Eric Bieniemy,
Well,
a lot of times it's somebody like Aaron Rodgers reached out on behalf of Nathaniel Hackett last year. I forget, maybe it was it to Jacksonville, but it was. But not enough of like, they'll talk to people in the building, but not enough of people talking to the players in the locker room. There's not enough of that. There probably should be. That's a good question. It's a good point. It's something that owners probably should do more of. Yeah.
All right, man. This was awesome, Jesus. We need to do this more often.
We do it every week. Yeah. And we'll see you on Saturday on Good Morning Football Weekend, 9 o'clock Eastern, replaying again at 9 o'clock Pacific. So check us out there. That'll do it for this episode of Total Access, The Locker Room. For more insight with a locker room point of view, check out the latest episodes every Wednesday and Friday on Apple and Spotify.